Hallelujah. God still has a word to speak to us today. Last week, when I was at the district conference, as the preacher was preaching, something came into my spirit, and I've been meditating upon it, and it just turned out to be too big to even really preach fully today, so I'll be talking more about this on Tuesday night. But if you could put up on the screen Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I changed the title of this about five times. Each one brought out a different aspect of what I wanted to get across. But the one I ended up with was submitted unto death. Submitted unto death. If you could bow your heads and hearts with me. Father, we come to you this afternoon. Thank you, hallelujah, for speaking to us. For letting us know, Lord God, that we have to walk worthy of your calling. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, for an anointing to continue in this service. Let the words, oh God, edify. Let it find good soil. Let it, oh God, lift up. Let it encourage. Hallelujah. Let it bless. Hallelujah. Let it, oh God, build faith. Lord, we ask for your presence and anointing, Lord God, to move us today, to touch us, hallelujah, to set us at liberty, hallelujah, to restore us. We thank you, hallelujah, for healing right now in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you submitted? Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, I struggled to put over everything that I was receiving this week, and when I had totally finished all my notes, I had about 19 pages, and it would have been a Bible study. So I said, you know what? I got up this morning, and I took out a lot of stuff and just kind of boiled it down to the highlights. And Tuesday night, I will teach in more detail all of the background to what I'm going to teach today. But this is an interesting scripture. Philippians 2, speaking about Jesus, it said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, for several years, I've been secretly complaining to God, not about me, because everything I've asked for, he's given me. And that's just honest. I don't know if there's anything right now that I want. Certainly there's nothing that I need. He's answered every personal prayer that I've asked him for. That's all I can tell you. But you know, I'm greedy. That's not enough. I want more than that. I want when I pray for others, when this church, when we witness, I want to see a lot more. I'm not happy that it's just me that God has answered, and I'm sure he's answered some of you too. And so I have been looking at God and saying, well, God, you're God. You can do anything. And yes, we have done witnessing, we've gone door to door, we've done things, but if I was to be honest, I was still, even though I was doing those things, thinking, you know, God, you got to do this. You've got to make them come. You've got to bring them in because you're God. You can do anything. And so I have been doing the things that I thought I had to do, but still in my mind, I wasn't putting the emphasis on me. I was really putting it on God. And I've got some things to tell you today that's going to be a little bit more than milk. So for some of you, I'm going to cut it up on Tuesday night. I'm going to slice it and dice it. But just bear with me till then. See, I was waiting for God to do some things. And God has done some great things. Many, many personal miracles. He saved me from death several times. I told you my testimony about the car that I was in. It was squashed up flat. The engine was pushed all the way back to the windscreen, and yet I got out surprised and looked at myself. Couldn't see anything wrong. Someone walked and said, "You okay?" Yes, I was okay, but that was a miracle of deliverance from God. God has done financial miracles over and over again. You know, but in my heart I was saying, "God, you have to do a lot of stuff." In other words, one of my titles was, "Where's the Dominion?" You know, Paul, when he was speaking to the Corinthians, he said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And I'm sorry if this is going to be a slow preach. Just listen to the words. You know, if my words don't move you, I personally am not going to. You're not going to see me, you know, run around too much. But you know what? The Bible says the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So 1 Corinthians, this is what Paul says. When he was speaking to the Corinthian church, he said, "I came, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. I didn't try and hype you up. It wasn't with man's wisdom. But it was with a what? A demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." And in my heart, that's what I've been seeking. I want when people come to the altar that they go away different. I want blinded eyes open. I want deaf ears opened. God has done lots of personal miracles for me, but this is what I wanted. And I kept on kind of putting it on God. I kept on saying, "You're God. You can do anything. Nothing is impossible for you." You know, and I was, as I was studying this, God started to give me scripture. And the one I want to start with is in Judges chapter 6 and verse 3. And God had been silent to Israel for a number of years, but their cry reached him, and he chose this man called Gideon. And Gideon is speaking with the angel, and he says, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why?" You ever ask that question? "Why then is all this befallen us?" Some of you may be going through some things. Maybe not everyone is where I'm at, where, as I said, right now I can't tell you that I need anything. I have clothes. Someone just offered to give me 2 new suits. I can't really tell you all the things God has done. You just have to look at my face. But I'm just telling you this, I don't need anything. Now, there may be things I want, but I don't really need them. So Gideon related this. He said, look at what's happened to Israel. Our enemies have been beating us up. Look at all the stuff. What's happened? Where is all the miracles? Did you see what he said? Where is all the miracles that our fathers told us of? My father could tell you some stories about the demonstration and the power of God. Like Gideon, I'm saying, where is all the miracles? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites? This was Gideon's feeling. He's saying, listen, we haven't seen something happen in church for a while. Why are we being beaten up? Why is all these things happening? But you know what? God was about to do something. And God was about to break open his miracle box. God was about to do something fantastic. See, now what I'm going to tell you is going to be, in hindsight, an obvious revelation. Because when I tell you, you're going to say, "But of course." Let me tell you this. Jesus said this in Matthew 9:38, and it's part of an eye-opening to this obvious revelation. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, you know, to me, again, with my attitude, it would be like, "God, you can do anything. You don't need laborers. You can make people come in. You can just give them visions and dreams and just make them come to church." But you see, God was trying to show a principle with what Jesus said. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Now let me tell you my first shocking piece of news. God is not going to save people by himself. Now, I know there's a scripture that says that he is the only Savior, and he is, but he is not going to do it by himself. He could. And Tuesday night, I'll explain why he won't. It has to do with that, you know, in Jeopardy, they give the answer first. And the question is, what is dominion? And that the answer is the reason why we pray. It's the reason why God will not work at this time without people. It's the reason why Satan fights us. It's the reason why we have tribulation. The answer is, what is dominion? See, there are three things that have to be in place for what I want to happen to happen. Well, we all know the first one, faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible. Let's say it together, impossible. To please him, for he that cometh to God must, it's not optional, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, and the second key is right there. Do you understand? It's not just faith, but you have to be diligent. You have to be diligent. You have to say it to your neighbor, say diligent. You see, what that is mean be ready to take action. Be ready, be prepped, be prepared. You know when a family's having a baby, you know what they do sometime fifth, sixth month, they start getting something ready. They start getting the room ready. They're being diligent because they expect something to happen. They start getting a crib. They start buying baby clothes, especially if it's the first one because they don't know what they're doing the first time. So they buy up all kinds of stuff they may not really need, but you know, but they're being diligent. They're going to be ready. They coming down to the last month, they have the bag packed. Okay, you got the shoes, you got this, because any moment now something may happen. You see, it takes faith, but it also takes diligence. And then the last but critical thing, and this may be the most important, it comes back to that same point, dominion. Complete submission to God. Let me say it again. For those things that we want to happen, the miracles, the breakthroughs, it takes three things. It takes faith. It takes acting on that faith. That means getting prepared as if God is going to answer you. Amen. And it takes complete submission, complete yielding of our dominion to God. Now, I want to tell you something else that's going to shock you. God does not respond to needs. I'm going to prove that to you. That's another revelation, free one for you. God does not respond to needs. You know what he responds to? Submission. I'm going to prove it to you. See, we think God's got to respond because we're in trouble and we're crying out to him, but we have not submitted. Now, Jesus talking to the Pharisees told them a few things that shocked them, that they couldn't understand, and it shocked me too for a while. In Luke chapter 4, 25, Jesus gave a little nugget of truth here that people go, don't understand it. But it has to do with what I just told you. God does not respond to needs. He responds to your submission. In Luke 4, 25, Jesus telling the Pharisees says, but I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. You know what that means? There were many people who had some needs. Oh, there was a whole pile of them in Israel that were really dying, had needs, had children to look after. But you know who God sent the prophet to? Some other woman that wasn't even in Israel. That made the Pharisees so mad because they didn't understand that God responds to submission and not needs. Now, you're going to say to me, well, what about this widow woman? Well, I'm going to prove to you what kind of... She was submitted unto death. Do you remember the story, what she was just about prepared to do? She was going to cook her last meal with the last food she had and do what? And here comes this stranger, and says, give me what you got. Now, that takes some submission. She was submitted unto death. She knows she's only got one more meal. And the prophet, this stranger, she doesn't know from Adam, comes to her and says, give me what you got. See, God is going to respond to your submission above your needs. So you all there crying and praying and you haven't submitted, problem number one. Problem number one. But unto none of them, verse 26, was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. There were many needs in Israel. God, in his omnipotence, could have put, everybody could have been fed all at one time. But I'm telling you, God does not respond to need. That's our mistake. He responds to your submission, your faith, and your diligence. Let me show you again. In the same talk, he gave another example. Verse 27. He says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus or Elisha. And they all could have been healed. God could just go, psh. There would be no need. There would be no sickness. But somebody had to come from a foreign country because a little girl witnessed to him. And he came thinking that he didn't have to submit. Who is this prophet telling me I got to go dip myself in the water? Don't we have some cleaner rivers where I came from? But you know what? His servant said, you know what? If he had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So why don't you now submit? Why don't you now submit? Because you, Naaman, are going to die of this disease if you don't submit. So what did he do? He submitted. And what happened? He got healed. You see, Jesus made this point. There were hundreds of lepers at the time of Elisha. But look at this. But none of them was cleansed save Naaman, this foreigner. Because why? He had a need? Yes. But he submitted. He acknowledged and obeyed what God, through the prophet, told him what to do. You see, it comes down to this. I've taught many times that we lost our spiritual dominion. What we have left was our physical dominion. That's all we have left, our physical dominion. That's why God told them, you're going to have to work now with what? The sweat. Sweat of your brow. That's how you're going to have to make bread. See, I believe before that, Adam didn't have to work like that. He could say, stone, turn into bread. But now he had to make the bread himself. He only had left physical dominion. And that is what God is wanting us to submit, physical dominion. Do you understand that what we have to do is to give God our bodies? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Let me, my laptop here messed up a minute. But look at this. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. So it comes down to this. How much of the physical dominion that we still have do we yield to him? Are you ready to give your whole body? You know, I bet you all of us, including me, would claim I'm submitted. But unto death? That's another level. How much are you submitted? You see, I look at what Paul said, right? How he, when he came, he was in the demonstration of the power of God. He didn't have to speak much. Miracles were happening. Things were popping. Lives were being changed. Why? Because Paul already had made up in his mind he was submitted unto death. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield. In other words, submit yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, Jesus himself was the prime example of submitting unto death. I read that first scripture. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yes, we are called of God. Yes, we are sons. But though he were a son, he learned in obedience. How? By the things which he suffered. You know, we can all complain. We go out, we find a flat tire. We start complaining. Big deal, isn't it? Ruined our day. I was talking to someone last night, and they were telling me how they were in such a bad mood. They were hungry and fixing some food, and they got this call, and man, they had to leave what they were doing and go down to this place because this person called them, and they had to. And it turned out that the person was calling them for a great blessing. And they almost said, why do I have to go down there and talk to that person? And they were so glad when they went and found, oh, well, we heard you didn't want to come. Well, I didn't know it was you. I didn't know that was why you were calling. And their whole visage, their whole demeanor changed now. You know, we say we're submitted. We want the miracles of Paul and Peter. But the question is, how much are we submitted? Is it unto death? Because that is the key. Jesus said, listen, if you don't hate your family more than, if you don't love me more than any other thing, you're not going to have any part of me. You have to be willing to be submitted unto death. See, I want to have the miracles. I want to walk in there and, you know, preach to thousands, have blinded eyes open. But listen, here's how Paul was submitted. 2 Corinthians 11:25. Now let's measure up to this. Let's put ourselves, let's stand up to this measuring rod. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Ooh, I have to drop out right there. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the water. He wasn't just shipwrecked, but God let him stay there for a day. In the water, the great Paul. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. We complain so much. He looked at me cross-eyed. I know he's thinking something evil. Are you submitted unto death? No wonder Paul was able to come into a place and didn't have to speak much because he was submitted unto death. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings, this is the great Paul, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. See, it's not just faith. You got to add diligence to that. And then most of all, you got to yield your dominion. You've got to be prepared. Jesus said, if you love your life so much, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to be submitted and give your life, you're going to get that plus heaven, eternal life. Paul himself declared this. In Acts chapter 21, 13, he says this. They were telling him, listen, Paul, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. They're going to lock you up. They're going to bind you. They're going to throw away the key. He said, listen, I don't care. You want to have demonstration of the power of God. You want the miracles. You want all the things. You're going to have to be submitted. Then Paul answered and said, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? Why are you trying to make me cry about this? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die. Now how much are we submitted? See, you wonder why you don't get your prayer answered? I just told you. You're not submitted. Some of us may not be diligent. We haven't prepared to receive it even if God gave it to us. We don't know what to do with it. We're not submitted. We're not diligent. And our faith is even smaller than a grain of mustard seed. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is this, and I'll bring it out more on Tuesday. God is looking for us to give him dominion. We have to give him permission. You know, he sent them on the sea, and he deliberately stayed behind. And you know what happens? Just like to all of us, a storm. A storm came into their life, and looks like it was about to sink them. And Jesus came by, and they saw him. And the Bible says he wasn't going to stop. He was just going to go on by. He's going to leave them in the storm. You know why? I told you why. It's not about your need. It's about when you recognize who can help you and when you truly call him into your situation. Not pretend. Not just come here every week and cry. But be submitted unto death. That's amazing. The Bible said he would have passed them by. That makes no sense. But aren't you God? Can't you just stop that storm instantly? Can't you fix my issue right now? Can't you take away the pain? Yes, he could. But he's not going to unless you meet his conditions. You see, God is in a covenant relationship with us. God is in a covenant relationship with us. And he, unlike us, keeps his part of the covenant. And the covenant states that we have to ask him. You know why? It goes back to that question, dominion. Because we were created in his image and gave us dominion. And so for him to step into our situation, we have to ask him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and do what? Knock. See, I've been wanting God to just do stuff because he can. And he won't. Because he's not going to do anything about my need until I'm submitted unto death. Not just submitted unto me as pastor. Not just submitted to your life, but submitted when you have a made up mind. That when they say, come on out here, you Christians, we're going to shoot you. You'll say, take me first. To die, what did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Do we believe that? Are we just saying that, or do we believe that? Paul said, listen, I'd rather go now. I tell you, people who have had visions of heaven don't ever want to come back. My father told me about one he had. And he was so upset when the vision ended and he found himself back on earth. If you get one glimpse of heaven, you would not want to come back. In fact, there's a book I read that explained why Jesus wept over Lazarus. You know, he was living with his sister, right? Because in the story, his wife had died. His children had died. And Jesus wasn't weeping because of their unbelief. He was weeping because he was going to have to take Lazarus back. Because he was in heaven. I tell you, what we have been called to, the Bible says, no eye hath seen, no ear hath heard, but it's only begun to be revealed through the Spirit. How submitted are you? Yes, we have some faith. Some of us have some diligence. But I don't think a lot of us are ready to die yet. Paul says, listen, don't make me weep. I don't even mind being in prison. I'll go further than that. I'm willing to die. I'm determined to go to Rome and preach the gospel, even though I know I face death. I'm going to tell this thing before Caesar. The Lord kind of convicted me about this because, and I don't know if he's watching, but my doctor gave me a great opportunity while he was working on my hand. He says, so what's the difference between Pentecost? I was about to say, I'm glad you asked. And I started to talk to him and witness to him. And I even told him, give me your contact information. But sad to say, you know, a certain amount of fear came into me. Well, not fear, but unbelief, I'd have to say. Let me confess. You know what? If I even sent this stuff to him, he wouldn't believe. But you know what I'm going to do? Because I'm going to try and submit to what God wants. I'm going to do it. At the conference, the preacher's name was Reverend Gaddy. He's the executive whatever for the West. You know, he's got a long title in the UPC. But he was a great preacher. He preached on the second night, five people that you need in your church. And I won't preach his message. I'm going to get the DVD. But one of them, he said, was a person of influence. And as soon as he said that, I thought, you know what? You have that doctor's information. You talked to him. You had a great conversation. He was telling you how much his wife was a believer, and it sounded like stuff his wife would be. And you haven't done a thing. Same thing with my therapist. I had every time I go there, we end up on the Bible. She gave me her number, and I still hadn't done a thing. And he started to preach to me, and God started saying, I gave you an opening. What are you doing? See, because in that case, I wasn't diligent. I had faith. I had talked to them. I had witnessed to them. But I hadn't prepared the next step. And yet we want God to just do stuff. Because my attitude was, God, you can speak to him. You can give him a dream. He'll just knock on my door and say, baptize me. Oh, no. What God is telling me, he's going to do nothing unless we are his feet and his hands and his ears. Do you understand You understand that this works for the devil too. The Bible says the devil works through who? Children of disobedience. If you yield your body to him, he'll use it too. That's what the battle is about, dominion. You still have physical dominion. We don't have spiritual dominion until we get the Holy Spirit, but we still have physical dominion. And God wants your body. He wants your heart. Satan wants it too. And Satan does his best work when he gets into people. I was telling Brother Jordan, I'm not afraid of ghosts or spirits or anything like that. They don't scare me any. I don't mind going anywhere with just ghosts. What scares me is when they get in people. Because you know what? Then they have a body that has yielded itself to a spirit. That's dangerous. But just a ghost going boo and noises at night, that's not going to worry me. See, God wants us to yield our flesh to him. That's what the scripture said. If you could stand with me. Now I'm going to go into much more detail on Tuesday night. But the three things I want you to remember from this is God is not going to respond to just your need. Nope. As he says, there were many widows in Israel the time of Elisha. He didn't go to any of them. He could have. God could just end poverty overnight, couldn't he? But he's not going to do that. Why? Because he's given his word. His word binds him to a covenant that will only allow him to work when we are submitted, when we believe, and when we're diligent. And if we today will take just those three things and understand that God could just give dreams to everybody, but he said instead, no, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will do what? Send laborers. He's expecting me and you to give him dominion and work through us. And when we do that, and we're working, letting him work through us diligently, you know what will happen? There will be a demonstration of the power of God such as you won't even believe. I am absolutely 100% convinced when we are submitted unto death, there's going to be an outbreak of so many miracles. See, God does personal miracles because you're his child. But if you want miracles for someone else, that only happens if you will yield him your dominion so he can work through you. He will look after you right now just because you're his child. And he will do miracles because you're submitted as far as being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you want it to happen to other people through your ministry, you're going to have to take action. It's shocking to me, but God does not respond to needs. He responds to submission. So by next Sunday, I'm going to make sure I'm going to send all the material. I'm going to offer Bible studies. I'm going to do double. I'm not going to be thinking, well, they won't do it. Because I'm stopping God. I'm limiting God. Jesus went to a place, and the Bible says he could not do there many miracles. Why? Because although he's God in the flesh, he's got to keep his covenant. He has to work through us. I'm going to read one more scripture. If I can find this one last scripture here. I've got 19 pages of notes. I can't find the scripture, but it says that he works according to the power in us. Ephesians 3:20. Let's find that. I'll end with that if you want my proof of what I'm telling you. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly. Above all, say above all, we can ask or even think. How does it work? According to the power. How does it work? How does it work? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, some people are sure. It works according to the power. God isn't going to do it. He's not going to do it. If anything's going to get done, it's got to be through you and through me. Because he's made a covenant. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. If any man or woman will open the door, guess what will happen? He says, we will come in and we're going to have a party and we're going to dine. I may not be there yet, but I'm going to be submitted unto death. It took Moses a while to get to the place where he's willing to go before Pharaoh, knowing that every time he went, he could be arrested and killed. He said, well, Lord, I'm not qualified. And I've told God that too. Oh, I can't speak. I don't have that preacher voice. I don't growl. We could come up with every excuse why we don't want to be submitted. But finally, Moses, after God showed him, listen, who made man's mouth? God had to scare him, turn a rod into a snake. He said, okay, God, I get it. You don't have to do that again. I get it. So as we close this service, we're going to pray. Make it your goal. Make it your goal, the three things I said. Jesus already said, you don't need a lot of faith, just a little. You do have to be diligent. That's why the wise men found him. It took them over 2 years. They were diligent. And then finally, and this is the one we all forget, and one we don't understand, God is not going to respond to your need until you are submitted. Amen? All right. Just remember those three things. I keep saying last thing, but I'll give you this last thing. Jesus in the garden. He didn't want to take that cup. But nevertheless, not my will. At any time he said, listen, don't you know I can call for 12 legions of angels? Don't you know I don't have to do this? But for your sake, for my sake, he was submitted unto death. And without him going to that cross, we would have no hope. But because of him going to that cross, 50 days later, next week we celebrate him being submitted to that cross. We are going to have communion. I just want to let you know that next week. But because he was submitted to that cross, we have the ability now to be saved. Hallelujah. This altar is open. As I said, this may not have been a hype message, but listen, it's the truth anyway. That's what God told me to tell you. Father, Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, oh God, that we will be submitted in every aspect, Lord God, even unto death, that we are willing, oh God, not just to be bound, oh Lord, but to die for you. Jesus, I pray your covering upon everyone that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, that this word came from you today. Lord, you have told us how to obtain the miracle. You have told us what we need to do to get your attention. Lord, we ask right now that we will be obedient even unto the death, even unto submitting to the cross. Lord, you said let everyone who wants to follow you must take up his own cross. Hallelujah. Help us not only just to say that, to repeat it, but to believe it, to mean it, to act upon it. Lord, right now, Jesus, as I pray for those in this audience, I pray, Lord, even for myself, Lord God, that we will be diligent, that we will be faithful, and we will yield hallelujah, our members, this physical dominion, our bodies to you, Lord, because you have said we are the temple. Oh, Lord, and that Holy Spirit dwells in us. We thank you right now, Jesus, for answering prayer and for speaking to Rehoboth today, for speaking to all that are listening, for this word, this message from heaven, in Jesus' name. Church, if you could pray as I come to pray for those at the altar, if you could raise up in your own heart and make a commitment to God to honor his covenant.